news for people heading to the airport or through Tullamarine, because delays are occurring. A protest from disgruntled taxi drivers has kicked off just 12 hours before UberX is scheduled to begin operating at the airport. Good. So there we go. Got the big tick. But the taxi drivers are not happy, and they've blocked roads leading to the airport and stopped picking up passengers. So that all started at about 9:30 last night.
It was crazy out there.
So what do you mean? They're parked on the highway?
I don't know how they've blocked it, but they've blocked roads. Well, I guess people get in and sort it out. But it's chaos. It's commuter chaos, Melbourne.
That is it, Melbourne. Build a train there, for the love of God.
Now, you know, and I've said this before on the show, and I will say it again. I just like to support the underdog. I've always felt for taxi drivers.
Not today.
When was the last time today? You caught a taxi? Yeah.
Oh, probably, it would be a few months ago. I use my car, but I happily grab taxis. And the thing that I do want to say, and I have said this over the years, I just feel taxi drivers get a bad rap. Now, admittedly, in some cases it's warranted. You know, everyone says they're smelly, they don't know where they're going, they drive badly.
Well, you just said that.
Don't
outsource your quotes to everyone else, mate.
I'm defending them. I'm just saying, no, because people...
It sounds like you're negging a bit, if I've got to be honest. If you were talking to a girl at a bar, you just said, some people said you don't look good in that dress. I reckon you look fantastic.
No, I just mean that they're often the butt of jokes, you know, taxi drivers. And I actually think there are great taxi drivers out there. I am being positive here. I think they're doing a good job. They've gone into that profession. They're earning money for their family, you know, to keep themselves afloat, and they get a lot of negative press. And I just thought, and I know that today they're probably going to be more hated than ever. Because
they blocked roads leading to the airport.
Okay. Again, I'm about spreading the love. Let's try and spread a little bit of positivity about taxi drivers. Yep. And I'm just suggesting on 131060, call in with positive taxi driver stories. drivers. No, I can think my granny used to go to a recreation centre every Wednesday. The same taxi driver would come and pick her up. He'd load her in. He'd make sure she got back in the house. They're a really awesome taxi drivers.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, what other good stories have you got from the 80s?
Like what? I'll break it down for you guys. Taxis were great when there was no Uber. And the thing that Uber always wins is you can track. You know exactly what time they're going to get there. They always turn up. It's already prepaid because it comes off your card. They have mints. Amazing. Mm. And they have bottles of water. Mm. And they're efficient.
Oh, I know.
Taxi drivers.
Yes.
Which I catch taxis as well. I go both. It just depends where I am, what time of the morning it is. if I can't activate my phone because I can't see the screen, I'll get a taxi because they're there. But taxi drivers, sometimes they're late. You ring them, they take 10 minutes to get there. When an Uber takes two or three...
I know what you're saying, but couldn't agree.
They were great until they came.
But
they should get the same thing as an Uber.
I know, but
listen
to what I'm saying. I agree that technology and the advanced system of the Uber system, infrastructure around that particular product, is far advanced from the taxi system. But I'm just focusing on nice taxi drivers today.
I know, and I do feel sorry for taxi drivers because they have to pay a registration fee.
Exactly.
Which costs a fortune. It was about $500,000 about a long time ago because we're going to buy some plates.
Yeah, it's like
but
a
now,
business.
But now they've gone down and a lot of people have invested all their money into that, their life savings.
I agree.
And now it's worth nothing because Uber's come along. I agree with what they're doing.
Yes. See, my stepdad, he got some plates and he was driving and he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and within 6 months it was worth like $20,000.
Yeah. I know, but blocking this off like at the airport, like it's like us just going, that's it, let's go to iTunes, burn all the podcasts.
Yeah,
like
no.
They're there now.
No,
live with it. That's
Dave.
A competition.
Yeah,
they should have to go through the same rules.
Sorry, I was just making a point about my stepdad, and I do think that is sad. I think that's really unfair that there are people who have put their house mortgaged 100%. On a taxi license. And then they end up losing all their money.
No, Uber should have to bad. Do this. And Uber have to do the same thing. They should have to pay a registration fee. And they don't have to.
So I think there's lots of... I know, and this wasn't supposed to go into this area, but let's just be positive about taxi drivers. Positive taxi driver stories.
Let's see
how
we go.
Come on, let's give them a pump up.
131060 is the number. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Positive cab driver stories.
I just think they get a really hard time. As we were just saying, Fev, a lot of them, they're really financially taking a massive hit at the moment, and it's really tough for them, and they get a lot of, you know, negative press, and people are going to be, there's commuter chaos on the roads this morning.
Sure.
Yes, okay. But let's just, you know what? In times like this, it's good to give positive energy and love in the direction where you least want to put it. So right now, let's pump up taxi drivers.
Boxy, it's just weather for that jingle. I've gone on 180. This is a great segment.
Michelle in Greensboro. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good, Michelle. Have you had a positive taxi driver experience?
I did. It was a few years ago. I was out with my girlfriends in the city and we got a taxi from Crown and we had this awesome cab driver let us play our music that we wanted, smoke in the car.
Cool.
We said, can you please take us through drive-through?
You should do that.
Took us through drive-through, got a meal and we bought him a meal.
Oh, that's nice. It's like you had a night out with the taxi driver.
Yeah, he was fantastic. We had a good time.
Oh, that's great. There we go. These are more the stories you need to hear. James in Reservoir. Hi, James.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Have you had a positive taxi driver experience?
Yeah, I had like this massive night with my cousins, and one of them actually lost their wallet with $300 in it, and we're just thinking, oh, where is it? It's long gone. Next morning, 10 a.m., this guy rocks up off shift. He's like, oh, here's your wallet. And we're just like, what the heck?
Oh, that's brilliant. Out of his way, off his work hours. What a lovely thing to do.
I've got a very similar story to James. We had our Melton South mid-season ball at the Tabcorp Park.
Oh, when you ripped your pants?
Yeah, when my pants split. Yeah.
That's right.
It wasn't a real good night that night. It wasn't well. But we after the football game, we went back to one of the boys' house, obviously, to get ready, and there was about 15 of us all putting our suits on. No one knew how to do a tie. It was a very good night. We jumped in the cab. We ordered four cabs, I think, for everyone to get into. And you're that excited. You're like, oh, I just want to get in and have some frothies. And I was that excited. And I jumped out of the cab and I went to the bar and I went to get my wallet out. Had no wallet. And then I had no phone. And I was waiting for Alex to come because she was coming from Melbourne. And I was like, oh, my God, I've left it in the cab. Gone. I'm going, this is gone. So we try to ring. We'll have other people's phone. Try to ring the cab company. Half an hour later, Muhammad, who drove Melton's, it was like a silver top, walked up to the function, tapped me on the shoulder, gave him my phone and wallet back.
Oh, Muhammad, thank you.
And I was like, that is gold.
That's really positive. And I think we've all learned a lesson here.
Yeah, there's positive.
That's a great jingle.
Oh, and also, just positive. Cab charges, how good are they?
Oh, they're great here at work.
Oh, mate, when they start handing those bad boys out, I am on board.
Do you remember when Byron used one down at Sorrento and back and no one knew who it was?
That's not true, that never happened.
Is that that's not, did the company poo-poo that?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Here we go, one of our favourite parts of the show.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. Oh, they're heaps of stories, stories from the Fevolution.
I mean, as far as jingles go, that was better than the cab one.
It's not a competition.
And if it is, I'd win.
Yeah, you would. I really like it. Thanks, I don't like buddy. Doing the stories, but I like the jingle. I'd just be happy to go, that is a story.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution.
No, you better tell a story.
Come on, Big Rig.
So, guys, I'm going to take you back to about 2007 or 8-ish. And people know me, my fame and neighbours where I starred. Oh. But I'd starred on a different show before then, Boxy.
You were a bit part on Neighbours. You were in one of my scenes.
All right, well, haters are going to hate me.
In one of my scenes, I made the scene.
Was that on the script?
Did you?
Fifi scene?
Did you have to wax everywhere? Anyway,
it was an extra.
I had more lines in this particular show. It was season 3, episode 28.
Wow.
Of Family Jewels.
What's Family Jewels?
Yes, it's the ex. Oh, he still is the lead. He's a singer.
The bass player for Kiss, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
Global show.
I starred on his show, so I was. The plot line was that he was a new president of the Carlton Football Club, and I was an interstate player, and he was trying to woo me over to Carlton.
What?
And
how did he script that in his show, that he was the president of the Carlton Football Club?
Oh, that's just the beauty of TV, Byron. You wouldn't understand.
In 2007, they're talking AFL on a storyline in an American show?
So I'll do a little bit of a background. I've got a bit of audio to play. So I had to go meet Gene in his penthouse at Crown, and he was going to try woo me to the Carlton Footy Club.
Mr. Simmons.
Nice to see you.
Brendan Favola, how you going?
Now, if you just give me a chance, I want to tell you that, think about this. You go into a a big pond and you're just another little fish. Here's an opportunity for you to become the big fish in the little pond. Carlton's been having problems. Now, that's good for you. Look, here's what I'm thinking. It's not just coming on and playing footy. Your face on t-shirts, licensing, merchandising, money, fame.
It all sounds very tempting, but it's not quite sure whether coming from a different town is... I'm obviously married with a couple of kids.
I'm not familiar with the term marriage, but I think I understand what you mean. This town, Melbourne, is a wonderful place to raise kids, just a few minutes away from the center of town, and a great place to take your wife to go shopping with your money.
She loves doing that.
And what they need is the spark that ignites the flame, and you're the only one that can take them there.
Gentlemen, meet your new full forward, Brendan Favola. Yeah.
What just happened?
What is that?
But you live in Melbourne.
You played for Carlton. You're one of the best known players ever.
Gene Simmons doesn't know Carlton. Gene Simmons isn't looking at real estate property in the inner city.
So that last bit, you go down into the rooms and he presented me in front of all the players.
What?
But little did Gene know that, he actually, when I left the Crown, he gave me a big suitcase full of cash. That's what the old Carlton Footy Club used to do. And so he was right on the right storyline. And I walked in, and after I did all that stuff, I said, Gene, you've realised that this is my town, and I am the big fish in this club anyway. So, storyline went nowhere because I was already playing there. But I starred on his show, and I think it was the highest rating show they've ever had.
Here they are, the stories of the Revolution.
So hang on. Was it because it's for an American audience? They just didn't care if it made any factual sense to Australia. They just didn't care.
Well, they wouldn't have known. So
right.
Obviously, I was a full forward already for Carlton, and he's come across with his producers and said, "Who's your biggest star?" And they went, "Oh, him." And I was like, "Yeah, guilty." And ended up being on his show, but it was really good fun.
Who would have thought the guy who was popular from an 80s band that wore face paint had no idea about AFL?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I know it seems like I'm obsessed with the breakup of Anna Faris and Chris Pratt, because I keep bringing
them up. Spoken about it every day.
I know, it's weird because I wasn't really even aware of their marriage. Like, it's... their breakups become so big, and I'm bringing it up again because I can't believe I am. I don't even know why.
Maybe because you weren't giving him attention, that's why they broke up. So that's something for you to think about.
You're right, Dave. I feel like Jennifer Lawrence, J-Law, has now been brought into this because Chris and J-Law have made this film together, Galaxies of the Guardian.
Passenger.
What happened to Guardian of the Galaxy?
Well, that's another movie that Chris Pratt was in that
she's
Jennifer
in
Lawrence
that?
Had nothing to do with.
Right,
so
okay.
She's
not in that one.
So they've made this movie together.
Well, the only thing in that movie is only those two in the movie.
Right.
So I'm sure. Not necessarily.
So they're on the red carpets at the moment. They're traveling, promoting their film. So of course, poor J Law's been brought into the. Oh, I bet they're having a thing, and I bet that's why he's left his wife. And this happened. Remember, this happened when Brad and Angelina broke up, and suddenly Marion Cotillard, French. I'm sure it's something like that. She was the co-star of Brad's co-star in the film he was promoting at the time. And everyone was going, oh, he had an affair with Marion. She was actually 8 months pregnant to her husband, saying, oh, and she put her hand up and said, I didn't break Brad and Ange up. It wasn't me.
I read an article yesterday that Brad and Jen are back together.
Oh, you heard it first.
You've read lots of articles about me. I've read lots of articles about you, Fev. None of them are true. But... And I feel for Jennifer Lawrence at the moment because when you are accused or people all suspect and then the rumour mill starts going that you're the one who broke a couple up.
Ooh.
And 131060, if this is you, put it on the record that you didn't break up a couple. You weren't the other woman.
Mm.
Because I found myself in a situation.
Oh, here we go.
No, this was awful because I was completely innocent. This was years ago. I went away with some couples. So we were staying at a holiday house. We'd all got a holiday house together.
Sorry.
And
did you have a couple?
I had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
We were sort of on the out. It was ending though. See, this was all bad timing because he and I were sort of, it was coming to an end.
Right.
Anyway, there were three other couples there and I you won't be surprised by this, but sort of like midnight, and I went, I'm going to go to bed early. You guys keep hanging out on the beach, because it was down at the beach.
Standard.
You pulled it in there. Okay.
Are you having a frat party down the beach?
No, it was a house on the beach, and then I went, guys, I'm going to go back in. Anyway, I went in, got into bed, and then one of the girls' boyfriends, he said he was coming to bed too, but he walked past my bedroom, and he just ducked in, and he went, oh, hey, you're in bed. I went, yeah. He sat on the bed and talked. We were just talking. Like, look.
Oh, this doesn't look good.
No, but I know
you could understand why people were jumping to.
I know it doesn't look good, but I'm just saying, we literally sat and talked for half an hour. I didn't want him in my room. Right. I didn't want him sitting on the bed. I didn't want him in there.
Half an hour is a long time.
Long chat.
Yeah, but whatever. He's just chatting. But then some of the others came into the house and went, oh. And then he and his girlfriend broke up.
Oh.
So then the rumour mill for the next year was that I had something to do with the breakup. I had nothing.
No, put it on record.
No. I'm putting that on the record.
Having a conversation under the doona.
It was, no, I wasn't. I was under the doona. He was sitting on the very end corner of the bed.
And after they broke up,
wasn't even interested in him. I can tell you, my hand on my heart, nothing ever happened. And I was completely innocent.
Okay.
And I was being judged as the person who broke up a couple, and I didn't do it.
Let's do the same thing now. 13, 10, 60. Put it on record, and we will believe you 100%, just the way we believe Fifi.
Right,
do we? 13, 10, 60.
There's no we here, champion.
Give us a call. It's the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We're giving you the chance to set the record straight. If you have been accused of or rumours have run through your social group that you were responsible for another couple breaking up, maybe you were the other woman, and you weren't, this is your chance to rectify that. Shelby in Knoxfield. Hi, Shelby.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, Shelby. Well, Shelby, first of all, you sound lovely. Hardly like a woman that's gone and broken up another couple.
Well, thank you.
So talk us through, how were you unfairly maligned?
Well, it was a few years ago, still in high school, and my best friend is a guy, and him and his girlfriend might have been fighting a little bit. I'm not sure of the nitty-gritty details, but they broke up, and I think she'd been blaming him for seeing me.
Oh, so he wasn't seeing you?
No, apart from his friends, obviously.
See, that's, you know what, Shelby, that's a tricky one, because sometimes when you, and I remember another time years ago.
Is this another one of your stories where you had nothing to do with the breakup?
I remember my friend's boyfriend coming to me to talk about their problems. I remember one day sitting in his car with him, talking him through it, and I went, we've said he rent. No, this doesn't look good now. You almost have to not be there for the boyfriend.
This is weird. He's got his shirt off.
Shelby, did everybody unfairly accuse you?
All her and her friends did. So we were like okay friends, I thought.
Yeah.
And so they all kind of hated me because they blamed me for them breaking up.
Haters have got to hate somewhere, Shelby. Oh. It's really unfortunate.
Well, hang on a second, Shelby. Did he afterwards ever say anything about feelings for you?
No.
No,
it's like my brother.
A guy and a girl can just be mates.
No, they can't.
They can.
They absolutely can.
Robert in Pakenham. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Robert. Have you been blamed for another couple's breakup?
Yes, I have. I was talking to a friend at a party, and she had friends with, kids with this guy. 3 weeks later, they broke up, and we actually got together 2 weeks after that.
And now you're
that.
Looking after the kids.
Yes, and then 2 weeks after their breakup, we actually got together and now we're actually married. So I've been blamed the whole time.
So, hang on, you were blamed the whole time, but you ended up with her anyway. So it's
And there's definitely some young ones involved.
So that's so it actually worked out in the end.
So your plot worked,
it's
really.
Like...
Yeah, that one was...
Unless that's the ex still screaming in the background.
No, but... No, I like it. He's being blamed for it. Nothing happened and then ended up with her anyway.
Right.
So it's like,
but that was his whole ploy.
Do you think it was? Yeah, I don't think Robert.
He's a real tool bag.
Whoa.
No, not Robert.
The other guy.
Sorry. Yeah, Robert, that wasn't you.
Robert's
Fev was meaning
that,
the other guy was the tool bag.
Yeah, Robert's telling Shelley that
I'm
the one.
That's all happening
and
there.
And now they're together.
I tell you what, though. I don't hear tool bag getting thrown out a lot. That's great.
I was going to say something else.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say that.
Corrected
Bill
yourself.
Bill in Broadmeadows. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Bill. Have you been playing for a couple's breakup?
Actually, I have. My best mate at the time was spending too much time at the gym together, literally training every day. So his missus got jealous and blamed on me that I'm pulling her boyfriend away and spending too much time with him.
Oh,
a bromance.
Yeah. She ruined it all, I tell you, man.
Bill, have they broken up?
I copped the blame for everything, and I lost my best mate as well.
Oh, that's not
because
fair.
Of that, and yeah.
That's not fair, but Bill, honestly, how much do you press, bro? You sound like you could lift.
No, not anymore. I've lost it all.
Oh, no. So you've lost the weight and the best mate.
Yeah, the losing situation in this one, I tell you.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Bill.
It's all falling apart.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
My beautiful daughter Trixie and I, we had a fun afternoon yesterday. She was on fire. And when I say on fire, it's so interesting having a four-year-old and having a daughter, because I sort of knew, and I've always heard, oh, you know, you're in trouble with a little girl. Fev, you know, you've got three.
Yes.
And, you know, wait till she grows up. They can, you know, they become little Miss Stevers, and they, and I just thought, no, she
They grow up very quickly, Boxing.
You're telling me, Fev, because I would argue a month ago we were playing with My Little Ponies and her little baby dolls, and then yesterday was a really abrupt sort of moment of, oh, we've just drifted into, I think you're a little girl and maybe a little princess. Ooh. Because I've walked into a room, I was trying to get her ready for a bath, and I walked into a room and I said, darling, we're having a bath now. No, mummy, I'm doing fashion. And I said, what? Anyway, what she'd done is she'd pulled out her bottom drawer, which has all these skirts in it, because I do skirts in one drawer, pants in the other drawer, and I'd get all
leggings,
the clothing. Leggings. I have all the drawers
knickers,
that are separate.
Yep.
She'd got every skirt out and put them all over her bedroom floor, and she was just talking through the fabrics and which one was which skirt, that pink one with flowers, that one's for ballet, that one's for when I do fashion. And she just kept saying fashion. Now, I don't know what has happened. She's either watched a cartoon, she's seen something, and they've been obsessed with fashion. But now I literally have my own little fashionista magazine editor at home.
What do you do at work when you're doing fashion?
Well, we do all kinds of different things. Even my friends are fashioner too. The person who's really fashion can dress all the people in fashion, and the one who's fashioner than others can work. And the one who is so fashion is me, and the one who's so fashion is me.
Right.
That's what. So I'm going to be working. Everybody else isn't, and that I'm the fashionist one. Wait, I forgot about Cammy. He has to get in his food. Cammy, you need your tutu on.
I'll digest this for you, mate.
Yes.
You know when you think she's asleep and you're talking in the mirror?
Yeah. No, she's not imitating
about how
me.
Fashionable you are, and it's all about me. She's been listening.
Maybe she's been on YouTube watching you announce fashions on the field.
Maybe.
She's been watching Home and Away.
I was very heavily pregnant when I did my last hosting of fashions on the field for the Melbourne Cup Carnival.
Ooh.
Maybe it's a throwback. But it's so interesting because
she's using words like décolletage. I don't even know what that means. It's just in there.
She's four, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I need to intervene now. Maybe now's the time to jump in and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not all about clothes, because I'm worried that she's going to cost me a fortune. She's going to be obsessed with fashion.
Are you serious? Why would you do that? She's the most fashion of anyone. Why would you not encourage her?
But the thing is, I didn't even know what fashion was till I was like 16. I was a tomboy. Well, this was not me. I was climbing trees and I was wearing my brother's hand-me-downs. I'm not ready for it.
Well, heaven forbid she might be different to you have her own kind of...
I mean, to be honest, you were the other end of the spectrum. That needed to pick me up. But.
No, Boxy, I've been through this three times. And probably at the same age where they start... Because before 4 or 5, they just match anything. Like they just put anything on. Anything goes.
Yeah.
And just let me be. But when they get a little bit older, they're like, hang on a second. I want to colour coordinate. I want to get matching things like mum. That's what they do
because
they
look
at. We had like Lulu would dress up in and Lenny and Mia, high heels. They'd walk around the house with Alex's handbag, and they'd be all girly fashion. But you talk about My Little Ponies. Lulu is very fashion. She's all about fashion. She won't wear leggings with certain shoes. She needs that color shoes to go with everything. but they always got, she still plays with her Barbies.
But she's eight, isn't she?
She's seven.
Seven, turning eight.
And it's like, when you see her play with her Barbies, it's like, oh, she's still a baby. And you get that moment where she's like, oh, then she goes back and then all of a sudden she's dressing up and she's like got all the sass and you're like, oh, it's gone again.
Yeah, but Fiff,
it's gone again.
Does she ever copy you and maybe think some tracksuit shorts and mockos or work?
No, but Alex does.
Oh, okay.
Do you want any advice?
That was a
joke. Well, yeah, if there is, 13, 10, 60, have you had to intervene at a young age and maybe try to...
You've got to let them go, Boxing.
No, I know.
Fashtervention.
Maybe there's a way, Fiff. There might be a way.
No, because it's...
We could be creating a monster
here. I'm worried this is like Devil Wears Prada. She's going to end up like that woman.
It's so cute. It's a phase. They go through it and it's so adorable.
I'm more fashioner than anyone.
Yeah.
Or, anyway, we'll see. 13, 10, 60. If you think you might be able to help Fiff out, I understand what Fev's saying, but maybe there's a way.
The next time you walk into Cotton On, she goes, no, I want to go to the Versace shop. Then you're in trouble.
Fiffi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Trixie yesterday just changed in front of me. It was really, not changed, but she's either watched a cartoon or something that's influenced her because she's obsessed with fashion. She came out of her bedroom and she was dressed, she had a black tutu, black t-shirt, black headband, and then carrying a black handbag.
Oh, that's chic.
And said, Mummy, I'm fashion, and then just kept talking about being fashion all afternoon.
What do you do at work when you're doing fashion?
Well, we do all kinds of different things. Even my friends. My friends are fashioner too. A person who's really fashion can dress all the people in fashion, and the one who's fashioner than others can work. And the one who is so fashion is me, and the one who's so fashion is me. That's right, so I'm going to be working, everybody else isn't, and that I'm the fashionist one. Wait, I forgot about Cammy. He has to get in his suit.
She's talking to your brother Cam
there. Yeah, my brother, her uncle. She's running down the corridor trying to find him to put his tutu on.
So he is the Smithers to her Mr. Burns fashion.
Yes.
He's the PA.
Exactly.
We're all her little
Get
PAs.
Get your pins out, Cammy. It's fashion time.
But look, I did say, I was asking you, Fev, you know, do I get in here? How do I maybe steer her away from fashion because it's going to be a very expensive bath? And, you know, I'd like her to maybe, I don't know, climb trees or do other things that aren't necessarily obsessed with fashion. Ashley from Melton. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
Ashley, my four-year-old's just become 16 overnight and I'm scared. Have you gone through anything like this?
I'm actually the result of... that little girl. I'm now 20 and I'm telling you now you need to intervene.
Oh, really? What's happened, Ashley? You're obsessed with fashion?
I can't stop shopping and it's so difficult to save money. I just love buying clothes.
Oh, Ashley, and did it start at a young age?
I was dressing myself for kinder when I was 4 years old. Whoa. Like, I would not let mum dress me. I would pick out my own clothes every day and I'd probably have, like, four costume changes throughout the day.
This is going to be a problem.
I've got a very expensive path ahead of me, but
I guess, actually, the question is, are you fashioner than everyone else?
I don't reckon back in the day I had that problem, boys. Mum would dress me in like sweat hog pants. Remember those old
sweat hog.
Remember the whole, yeah, but it's back now. But back in the 80s and 90s with the old, you know, the parachute pants. And if you had the three lines, you were cool. If you had the two lines, you were a bit of a nerd. Mum could only afford the two lines.
Oh, fair.
Used to run around in that. You'd have the worst haircut and you'd have like worse shoes on. The old pumps. Oh,
I remember that.
I wasn't a fashion.
The slips top. Remember slips?
Leanne in Cranbourne. Hi, Leanne.
How are you, Fiffi?
Yeah, good, Leanne. Have you got a little fashionista in your house?
Oh, absolutely. She's 15 now and it's sort of like doing my head in these days. But the best advice I worked out when they were little, because I've got a son as well, was the moment they'd see something bright and all the tickets and it was always the most expensive thing, I used to say, oh, no, that ticket says you can't buy that because it's broken or the man's going to come back and fix it. And it stopped tantrums in the store. Until I could read, I got away with that. It didn't matter whether it was at the shop, the supermarket, anywhere.
Good. So lie, basically.
Great tip there, Leanne.
I wish
like
my
that.
Mum said that when I wanted a hypercolour t-shirt back in the 90s. Remember those horrific things?
Yeah, they should come back.
Cooter Lions jackets. Oh,
Jess in Point Cook. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Jess, do you have a fashionista in your house? A little.
Oh my gosh, I can totally relate to where you're at right now. We have a 4-year-old that we had to have an intervention with her at daycare with the teachers.
Why?
Because she would insist on wearing high-heeled shoes to school every day.
Oh, Jess, how did the intervention go?
Well, we had to integrate her so that way it was Fridays was dress-up day and that Monday to Thursday, we were like, you just have to wear your normal clothes, darling.
Unbelievable that it got to that. Funny. Thank you, Jess.
Oh,
hang on. This is strange.
Yes.
I think Trixie must be listening. She's on the line.
Hello, darling.
I'm just going to throw this out there right now. Your listeners probably think I sound heaps hotter right now, so you are welcome. Because I am fashion. I'm the Thursday of Chic. Ladies and gentlemen, I am looking pretty good today, all right?
Are you sure you've just got your little Sleeping Beauty nightie on?
Cute. I don't know if you've heard of a little brand called Versace. But something I do, Bone, I need to pick with you, woman.
Okay.
I have to talk about my Achilles heel.
What's
you.
That?
But to be honest, your fashion is slumming it.
I agree. I'm not doing you any favours.
Oh, my God. Brendan Favola. Should have seen her. I saw her walk out this morning in her so-called gym gear. Oh, my God. I've seen bin whining that looks better than her.
Trixie.
That's her third day in a row, too. I don't think any gym's happening.
It is. Crack a window.
I'm doing secret gym sessions.
Actually, wait a minute. I don't know why I'm complaining. I've just thought about it now. I'm a 10, but when I'm next to you in that gear, I look like a 12. Actually, no, continue on the way that you're going, because I am a fashion, bitches.
Okay, there she goes, Trixie. Very important announcement coming up. Fev has a public announcement after this on the Fox.
Do I?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I've got an issue, guys. It's happened to me a fair bit of late. It used to happen a while back where people would come up and think, especially when I was in Brisbane, and when I go to Sydney, they'd think I was someone else, that I'm not. And now that this TV show is on called Hell's Kitchen, where a certain person by the name of Willie Mason is starring on that show, and he's going very well. He's funny. People think that we look the same. Maybe we do. But I remember when Lenny was like 4 or 5 years old and Willie Mason was playing at the Roosters and he was doing a press conference and she said, Daddy, Daddy, you're on TV. No, that's not me.
That's awesome. You were in the room.
Yeah. And I said, it's not me, honey. And then yesterday I was at the Woolworths buying some stuff for dinner and a lady came up to me and said, oh, are you buying the ingredients for the Hell's Kitchen? No, I'm not. I'm not Willie Mason.
It's a big Willie style.
Every time I was in Brisbane, I went to Brisbane, I left Carlton, thought, fresh start. Alex is about to give birth to Lulu. Go up there, bit of trouble down in Melbourne. Let's go to Brisbane where nobody knows anything about footy. Little did I know that I look like bloody Willie Mason. And everyone would go, oh, Willie, Willie. I'm not Willie. I'm the idiot from the Brownlow. That's not me. I'm not Willie Mason. So everyone out there, please don't come up to me and say I'm Willie Mason. He's a great guy. He's funny. Hope he goes well. Hope he doesn't win it because I won in my show. But
do you know what's amazing? Even my mum said to me, I didn't know Fev was doing Hell's Kitchen.
See?
She said, Mum, you know, she's not watching it. She just saw a commercial ad.
Oh, my God. It happened at the post office too. The lady goes, oh, good luck on Hell's Kitchen. I love you. You're really funny. I'm not on Hell's Kitchen.
Hang on a second until you turn up to a bank. Are you Willie Mason?
Yes. Yep.
And I'd like to say 20 large out, please.
So I just wanted to get it out there. I'm not on Hell's Kitchen. I'm not Willie Mason. Don't say it to me.
Okay. And we've put it on Facebook, a split screen, and a lot of comments already saying, I thought it was fair.
Why would you do that?
Well, and should we ask the question, who wore it better? Let's see which one's better looking.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fifi just had us gripped to what we're all apparently going to be doing in the year 2050 on 101.9 The Fox. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Well, come on, let us know. That's only like 30 years away.
Okay. This is according to the latest sustainability report, guys. And this sustainability report was put together by IKEA. I trust every... they know what they're doing, IKEA. How's this? In the year...
Was the report put together with an Allen key?
Hey! In the year 2050, Boxy, mm-hmm. I hope I'm in a grouse retirement home that goes out bowling and does all the grouse stuff.
Is that where he's going to be?
I want to be one of those. No?
Wrong. My friend, in the year 2050, we will all be farmers. Ta-da! That's what's happening.
That's what IKEA reckons.
We're going to be farmers. Here's the thing.
That's my farmer music.
Is it?
Why?
Because we're going to have to start growing our own food. That's what's going to happen. We're all going to have mini greenhouses out the back, growing our own herbs and vegetables.
So the, right now,
we're
going to
be farming.
Around everywhere, we're going up. High-rises.
Yes.
So if I'm living in one of them...
You'll have a communal garden. You'll have a communal garden downstairs.
You just made that up.
I didn't.
I think we'll all be farmers response. And he'll still have Uber Eats and we'll be delivering it to Lucia's place.
Farmers, how did they come to this? What study was it? How many people?
This was a sustainability study. A lot of people... Hang on. Okay, you want to know? They haven't given me the stats. They're running and hiding from these.
So they're saying we're going to run out of food.
We're basically saying, yes, we are going to have to rely on ourselves. We are going to have to turn inwards to create and grow our own food.
Don't we grow it?
We're also going to all have housemates. Forget that. You're not going to have your own house. You have to have a housemate.
Oh. Well, I mean, for you, you've got about 18 rooms in your house. Maybe it makes sense.
Put some tenants in.
I mean, that left wing's just sitting there.
I don't get it. But we already grow our food now.
Yeah, but the sustainability issue. So the problem is we're going to have more people. We're an aging population. There is going to be 9.8 billion people on the earth.
Oh, that's
and how can Woolies, you know, provide vegetables to everybody, Fev? You have to make your own.
We'll grow more now.
What? No, but you can't just... You need more farmers, hence why you're going to be a farmer.
You're a farmer. You're going to be a 76-year-old farmer.
I don't think I will be, Byron.
Yeah, can you imagine Luce just standing at a garden going, how do I grow cheeseburgers?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
He doesn't miss Bruno Mars, Versace on the floor on the Fox.
Already done the gag, mate.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Was a funny gag that Fev said off mic leading into that song, but he won't repeat it because it's not
funny. Can I repeat it because it was so funny? Because I told the story before about Trixie putting all her clothes on the floor and being calling herself fashion. And then Fev, you said...
Trixie's bedroom.
Brilliant.
Bruno, Versace on the floor.
Great line. Good line.
You turned his microphone off.
5 to 9. Imagine we got that on air live. That would have been something.
would have been amazing.
You played some stupid farmer music and couldn't get those zingers on.
Well, David. Apologies for that.
Talking about zingers. G'day, guys. Now, this may be something a little foreign to the Melburnians out there, but let's talk coffee. Yeah. Now, and weirdly in the studio, a bit of a peek behind the curtain. Boxer, you're the only one who doesn't drink coffee in the studio.
I don't drink coffee. I eat coffee ice cream.
That makes sense. Of all the vices, coffee is not one of them for you.
No, it's not.
But every morning we get...
Doesn't like hot drinks.
I don't drink tea either. Or hot chocolate.
It's weird. So you meet in a cafe, what do you do?
I have a scone. I don't know. A muffin.
You don't drink hot drinks. This dual citizenship stuff, leave that alone. People who don't drink hot drinks, get them out. But I only bring it up because here we love a coffee in the morning and we are nice enough to have our new producer/work experience kid, Blake.
Work experience.
He goes down and gets our coffees every morning because we can't leave the studio, guys. It's go getting time for that.
Absolutely.
3 hours. Or in my case, 2 hours. Good contract. Now, Blake goes down and gets ours, and I have a keep cup. Why? Because I'm very smug. And I know that all those coffee cups are really bad for the environment and they can't be recycled and blah, 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 blah. Now, the other morning, Blakey did come by to get my keep cup and goes, I'll just go down and get your coffee. I said, thanks, Blake. Your weapon. Good on you, champion. I'd reckon 15 seconds later, he goes, and there you go. Now, our studio is 2 floors above the cafe. It's a bit of a stroll.
Sure.
I'm like, did he just find a rip in the space-time continuum to get that coffee? I opened up the lid and there was a lot of bubbles in the top of the coffee. Like, it doesn't just have your usual crema like a coffee usually does, where the top looks amazing. I was like, that has just been poured from another vessel. Now, Blake, you can get on the mic. Mate, don't drop your voice to sound like a hero. Just talk normally. What did you do with the coffees?
So, you know, I've been filling in for Bridge because people have been away. And so I just didn't want to spend, you know, a lot of time down there. And so I went and, you know, get the coffees. And then sometimes I just don't have time to wait down there. So I get them, come back up, grab everyone's keep cup. And in the kitchen when no one's watching, I swap them over.
You pour the coffees from the coffee cups.
Correct.
That I'm trying to stop using to save the environment. Pour them into the key cup.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person. There's no doubt about
it. I think that's what we were getting at, Blake.
Mate, it's like buying a Tesla and then just pot riveting a petrol engine on the side and leaving it running. It makes no sense.
He's not getting anyone's keep cups. He's getting all of those horrible cups that destroy the environment.
And I think every day he's throwing my keep cup out and then buying a new one.
How's his work experience going?
No, he does a very good job.
He's
to be
brilliant,
honest,
Blake.
For $3 a day, he's pretty good.
No, stop.